Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning. Man, it is good to be here this morning and see everyone. I'm excited to be here, and I hope you guys are as well. And to praise you. Father, I ask that you just watch over each one of us, open our hearts and our minds. Father, we also want to pray for our offering. Father, that we may use it wisely, and that we may use it for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop?
Awesome in power, our God,
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our
a reflection of our ever-changing life, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, but we lift up our lives, for we know that you are worthy of our praise. You are life's song praise.
I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs, and you're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there are scars in your head, that your goodness is good without end, and you'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. I believe
this morning. Isn't that a good way to get everything started? Oh, how's everyone this morning? Hope you guys are excited as I am to be here this morning and that we get the opportunity to praise and to worship our Savior. You know, we get to join together. And man, that's all the enthusiasm I have for that. Yeah, I'd expect nothing less. Everybody, I tell you what, that storm last night, it zonked me out. I was out cold. I don't know if that's where you guys are at and still kind of in that storm mode. But before we get into today's message, let's take a minute and let's just pray. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just want to thank you for the opportunity for us to join together as brothers and sisters in Christ to just to learn more about you. Father, I ask that this morning that the message be your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, I pray that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Father, if it's something that we need to hear, may it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. And may we grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to continue our series that we've been calling The Battle. And we're going to be looking at, we've been looking at different battles that many of us face on a daily basis. You know, last week we spoke about friendships and intimacy and the building of friendships and what that looks like. And we spoke about how we're called to be there in each other's lives, not just through social media or quick texts and likes and so forth, but to actually spend quality time together and investing that time and energy into our relationships. Next week, we are going to be looking at compassion and what it means to be a compassionate Christian and showing compassion to the world around us. This week, though, we're going to be looking at authenticity and what it looks like to be an authentic Christian in the world around us, how we can live a life that is Jesus-centered in a very selfie-centered world. Being authentic is not something that is easy with the world that we live in today. We have pressures to fit into different norms and to fit into different comforts of the world around us. The world has beauty standards. They have standards on how we should think, how we should act. They have standards for how we are to respond to people. Yet when we don't fit in that bubble that the world has and the world calls for us, we're often pushed out. We're told we're strange. Some of us are a little strange, but we're told we're strange. We're told we're weird. We're told sometimes that people just don't understand us. They don't understand why we have the train of thought that we do. Oftentimes, being a Christian goes against the grain of the world, and it goes against the thing that the world tells us that we should want to do or not do. But we need to remember a couple passages in the Bible this morning, starting with John 15:19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. Things we do may seem odd to the world around us. But Romans 12:2, it tells us as well, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Who we are should not be based on the world around us. It should be on who God made us to be, how he has made each one of us unique, how he has made us each for a time such as this. Each one of us have a past, and some of our pasts are pretty mild, and for others, our pasts are a little bit more messy. Yet, when we come to Christ, we're made a new creation. We are made new. You know, those past experiences, though, they don't go to waste. God can use them, even your bad experiences, to reach the lost for him. You know, I think of my own life and my own experiences often, how God has used my past failures and hurts to help me reach new people for Christ. Though I'm not proud of everything I've done in my past, I'm not proud of the mistakes I've made and the choices I've made, it's those experiences that have made me who I am today. It's those experiences that have allowed me to reach out to people that other people can't reach because I understand where they're at. It's about being who I am because God has made me. So often people want to hide their past. They don't want everyone to know the struggles or the challenges they face in their past. We want to present ourselves the way that we perceive people want to see us. You know, the world wants to see us one way, and we try to present ourselves in that way. We start speaking in ways that's not us. We try to use words and language that mimics the people around us. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we need to be careful what we say and who we're mimicking, because our speech is called to glorify God. But what I'm talking about is that we start speaking in a way that just blends into the world around us, that we're not that unique person that God has made us. When we're at church, we try and talk and act like church people, and we like to speak what I call Christianese. You know, we have a language within the church that oftentimes others don't understand. I didn't know what a Northex was until I came to this church. How many others don't know what the Northex is? Because that's a language within the church. And the rest of the world often doesn't grab that. When we're at home, work, or with friends, we act and speak differently depending on who's around us. It all seems to be about who is around us, and we find ourselves hiding the real us that God has made us to be, because we're so fit and trying to stick in and fit in with the world around us. We want people to see us the way we think they want to see us. We need to remember to be the person that God made us to be. He made each of us unique. He made us with a purpose for life. He's equipped you uniquely to play your part of the body of Christ. We're not all called to play the same position in the body. There is no other you in this world. You can do things I can't. You can do things others can't. You can reach people for Christ that I can't and others can't as well. Don't hide your past. Don't hide your struggles. Instead, present yourself in an authentic way that shows Christ and that brings glory to God. Being willing to speak about your past, you don't have to be proud, but be willing to share how God has helped you overcome those past mistakes. Being willing to share with somebody young that I've gone through those struggles you're facing right now, and this is how God brought me out of it. And being authentic throughout that walk can have an impact that you can never understand. The way we speak and the way we act should be the same no matter who's around us, and it should all bring glory to God. Yet often this is where our battle is located. When it comes to being authentic, we are torn. Do we try to fit in the world or do we glorify God? It's like a fence that we have to straddle, is what it seems like, yet we're not called to straddle the fence. You know, you ever seen that? You ever sit there? You can hop over a fence, and if you lean one way, you're going to fall in one direction. You lean the other way, you're going to fall in two. And so often we like to sit there and straddle that fence because we want to be in the world, but we're called to be with God. Honestly, we should be hopping over that fence and running to God as fast as we can and to present that side of us to the world, not worrying about what others think. You know, when we're not authentic, people can tell. There's one thing I know. People can tell when we're not authentic. The world around us can tell, and then they don't want to hear about Jesus. So what does it mean to be authentic? I read this question online this week. Have you ever seen an authentic Chinese restaurant owned by a guy named Patrick O'Malley? Think about that. I mean, the food can still be good, but the odds are it's not authentic. It's going to have a little bit of an Irish spin on whatever the food is that's being cooked, even if unintentional. The real deal can be very hard to find these days. It can be hard to find even within the church. This day and age, it can even be hard to define what it means to be authentic. The world says to be true to yourself. But the truth is, we're called to be true to the person that Jesus made us. Not to follow the sinful desires of the heart, but to follow the desires of Christ and how he equipped us for moments such as this. Authenticity is a big deal to Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus speaks about the Pharisees, and in verse 2 and 3, he states, "There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be made known." Verse 3, it says, "Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have whispered in the ear in a private room will be proclaimed in the housetops." The Message translation is a paraphrase translation, and it puts it this way. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, that mask will slip and your true face will be known. God knows what's inside of each of our hearts. He knows what we place our mask on in our lives. We may be able to fool people around us, but we cannot fool God. God warns us the day will come when that mask will fail and everything will be brought to light. One of the masks that we often put on is the mask of our own version of the gospel, or the mask of the extra gospel, as one person put it. We try to live out the verses that we have highlighted in our Bibles. How many of you have verses highlighted in your Bibles? Vibe passages that you enjoy, passages that bring you joy and comfort, and guess what else? Oftentimes they reinforce your view of God. They're the ones that make you feel good. And it shows your preferred view of God. But often then we ignore the other passages. You know, when we look through our Bible, God challenges us in many ways to be an authentic Christian. And not just to like some of the passages, but all of them. To allow our lives to shine. If we look at Matthew 19, we see a rich young ruler coming up to Jesus and asking him, what must he do to have eternal life? It tells us in verse 18 and 19, which ones, he asked him. And Jesus answered, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man's excited. He's like, I've done all of this. He wants to be a good person. He wants to get to heaven. This is the thing that he feels he needs to do. And in verse 20 it says, I have kept all of these, the young man told him, what do I still lack? The young man never expected what Jesus responded with. He never expected Jesus to say in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your belongings, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. That had to be hard to hear. We know that the young man struggled with this. In verse 22, it even says, the young man heard that and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. How many of you guys have that passage outlined inside your Bible? The idea of give away everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. It's hard. I'm not telling you guys to immediately go sell your house and everything you have. That's not what I'm getting at here. What I want to point out is when we're being an authentic Christian, we have to look at the Bible as a whole. And a lot of times there's passages that make us uncomfortable because it doesn't fit the mold of God that we have thought of. It doesn't make us feel safe and warm inside. It doesn't reinforce our current way of life. There are other passages that do the same. I know myself, I don't always like passages like these either. It makes me wonder, am I being an authentic Christian when I read this kind of stuff? Does it mean we should be flawless in demonstrating Jesus? You know, God tells us and assures us Christianity is not about being perfect. Instead, it's about engaging in an honest process of becoming more like Jesus each and every day. Engaging God's word and allowing it to transform our life. If you feel challenged as you read the Bible, it's probably a sign that you're embracing authenticity. Authentic Christians don't pretend that they are perfect when they mess up. They're quick to admit it and even seek out forgiveness of others, but get back in step with God's calling in life. An authentic Christian understands the grace of God, and they're also quick to hand out that same grace to others around them. An authentic Christian is one who sincerely strives to be the real deal and show Christ in their everyday life. To get to this point, though, we need to remember something that the psalmist wrote in Psalms 139, 23 to 24. And I would encourage you guys to pray this daily. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in an everlasting way. As a believer, we need to ask ourselves, am I being authentic? Am I being the real deal? Am I living the life that brings glory to God? The world around us is not looking for some great theory on God. They're not looking for an idea of God. They're looking for the real deal. They want to see what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus. That brings us to our main, which is going to bring us to our main passage today. But guys, the church, the people around us so often don't believe Christians about their God because we live as if he doesn't actually exist. We have those little passages highlighted in our Bible because it makes us feel good, but we don't actually live out the entirety of being a Christian. We aren't the hands and feet of Jesus to the poor like we're called to be. Yes, we might sign up for a holiday or something like that to volunteer at a soup kitchen, but the rest of the time, we don't think about it. When the world doesn't see a changed person and sees us looking just like them, what makes them want to join us? What makes them want to have what we have? They already have it, right? If we're the same as them. We're going to look at a story of a young man that even though the world was against him, he remembered what God had done in his life. And when all the odds were stacked against him, he stood firm. For those who want to follow along, it's going to be in 1 Samuel 17 is where we're going to be at for the passage. And as we start reading through this today, many of you will know the story. But I think there's parts of it you never thought of before. We see it's the story of young David. And it's when the Philistines were gathering their forces on one side of the valley, and the Israelites were on the other. And the two of them were facing off for 40 days. And the Philistines had a champion named Goliath. And the Bible describes him in verses 4 through 7. And it says, then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistines' camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He wore a bronze helmet and a bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was a bronze armor on his shins, and bronze javelin was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. He was intimidating. How would you feel if that come walking up in front of you? He kept Israel at bay. The people had forgotten everything God had done in their past. All the times that God had rescued the Israelite people, all the battles in the past that God had won, they had forgotten about. And as you read through the chapter, we see that the army was cowering to Goliath. Even the king of Israel was cowering to Goliath. Then comes this young shepherd boy named David. He was visiting his older brothers who were on the battlefield, and he brings them food and checks up on them on behalf of the father. And when he arrives, he witnessed Goliath coming out and doing his normal speech. And Goliath says in verses 8 through 10, why do you come out to the line in battle formation? He asked them, am I not a Philistine? Are you not a servant of Saul? Choose one of your men, have him come down against me. If he wins a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. Then the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man who can fight each other. They heard this every day for 40 days. And when David heard this, instead of doing what everyone else was doing and cowering, he responded in boldness in verse 26. It says, David spoke to the men who were standing with him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Here is David, the youngest and smallest of the family, yet he's the one being bold and being authentic to what God has asked him to do. He knew the God he served. He knew the victories that God had delivered Israel from in the past. And yet, nobody else seemed to remember it at that moment. And David's own brothers, when they heard him say this, they called him out. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. In verse 28, it actually tells us that his oldest brother listened as he spoke to the men, and he became angry. And why did you come down here? He asked him. Did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your arrogance and your evil heart. You came down to see this battle. Then when King Saul found out about David and what was being said, he called for David to come to him. And again, David got ridiculed. Again, David got made fun of for standing up. It tells us in verse 33, you can't go fight these Philistines. You're just a youth. It's been a warrior since he was young. King Saul has been asking for people willing to battle. Here is David stepping up, and Saul's making fun of him for it. See, David was not fitting into the mold of the world. The world was pushing him back. The world wanted David to be like the rest of them. They wanted him to cower at that moment. They wanted them to be scared. You know, it would have been easy for David at that moment to shrink back into the world. it would have been really easy for him just to go back and say, you know what? I'm going to act like everyone else around me. I'm going to run in fear. I'm going to hide. But he was authentic to who God made him to be. David was bold, and David stepped up in his boldness. It tells us in 34 to 37, David told Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion, a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, I struck it down, and I rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has been killing lions and bears, and those uncircumcised Philistines will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. And Saul told him, go, and may the Lord be with you. See, David understood something. God had been preparing him for a moment like this. David was being true to who God had called him to be. And the past experiences he had was giving him courage to step out in faith and to face that giant that no one else was willing to. Your past has done the same for you. It's prepared you for what God has called you to. It's prepared you to share the gospel with your neighbor down the street. It's prepared you to be the hands and feet of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be authentic to the person that God has called you to be. You have to have that relationship there with him. When Saul finally agreed to let David face Goliath, he still wanted to push David to conform, to the point that Saul gave David his own armor before he went out. And David, it tells us David couldn't even walk in it. It was like David was trying to put on a filter of life to look the part and how the world has this image of a warrior going out into the battle should look. We do the same thing. We constantly filter our lives. We filter our lives on social media. We filter our lives on what we tell people. We filter everything. We aren't authentic to ourselves. If you go on social media, you can put 13 different layers on if you wanted to on a picture to make yourself look as good and as perfect as you want. If you've got any type of acne or anything like that, you can put a filter on and the world will never know you got it. If you've got freckles, you can make them disappear. You don't have freckles and you want freckles, you can give yourself freckles very quickly. There's filters on there that can make you look like a girl if you're a boy, and a boy if you're a girl. Now, the options that are available to filter how you want to people to perceive your life is crazy online. But so often these filters, and we use them because we are presenting ourselves how we think the world wants us to be. Just like David, when he put on that armor at first, the world expected him to be in that armor because he was going to go out into battle. But David says that he couldn't, and he fell because he was not being at that moment who God wanted him to be. It wasn't until David took off that armor that he was able to go out and face Goliath, because at that moment he was being authentic to who God called him to be. And he was able to carry out that work. I want to encourage you today to be authentic, to become the person that God has created you to be. Allow God's glory to show through you. Don't be concerned about what others' opinion is. Instead, be concerned what God thinks of you and the way that he views you. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find so much more joy in life at that moment when you seek him over the world. You may not be popular. It may not be the most exciting time for the world, but for you, you will experience a new freedom, a new joy like never before. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and we just pray that you help us be authentic. Help us to be that person that you've called us to be. Help us to take off those layers that we use to hide behind. Father, may we seek you in all that we do. May we bring glory to you in all that we do. And may we be a light to the world around us. Father, I ask that we just search our hearts. And we ask, how can we be more authentic? How can we be more the person that you've called us to be? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys as you go out this week. May he shine his face upon you and give you rest. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.